Father.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say that. Of the Ganges, emanating from the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, the cow, gave himself up, Mukunda Angri, onto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, Ananya, without deviation, Bhava, spirit, Univata, with the vow of the sage, Mukta, liberated from, Samasta, all kinds of, Sangha, association. Thus it came, the worthy descendant of the Pandavas decided once and for all, and set on the Ganges bank to fast unto death and give himself up to the lotus feet of our Krishna, who alone is able to award liberation. So, freeing himself from all kinds of associations and attachments, he accepted the vows of his sage. Purport. The water of the Ganges sanctifies all the three worlds, including the gods and the demigods, because it emanates from the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead Vishnu. Lord Krishna is the fountainhead of the principle of Vishnu Tattva, and therefore shelter of his lotus feet can deliver one from all sins, including an offense committed by a king onto a brahmana. Maharaj Parikshit therefore decided to meditate upon the lotus feet of Lord Shri Krishna, who is Mukunda, or the giver of liberations of all description. The banks of the Ganges or the Jamuna give one a chance to remember the Lord continuously. Maharaj Parikshit freed himself from all sorts of material association and meditated upon the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, and that is the way of liberation. To be free from all material association means to cease completely from committing any further sins. To meditate upon the lotus feet of the Lord means to become free from the effects of all previous sins. The conditions of the material world are so made that one has to commit sins willingly or unwillingly, and the best example is Maharaj Parikshit himself, who was recognized sinless, pious king, but he also became a victim of an offense, even though he was ever unwilling to commit such a mistake. He was cursed also, but because he was a great devotee of the Lord, even such reverses of life became favorable. The principle is that one should not willingly commit any sin in his life and should constantly remember the lotus feet of the Lord without deviation. I'll repeat that. The principle is that one should not willingly commit any sin in his life and should constantly remember the lotus feet of the Lord without deviation. Only in such a mood will the Lord help the devotee make regular progress towards the path of liberation and thus attain the lotus feet of the Lord. Even if there are accidental sins committed by the devotee, the Lord saves the surrendered soul from all sins, as confirmed in all scriptures. Svapada mulam bhajata priyasya vahu hari paresha vikamyasko patitam katanchit dhunoti savam divisam nivisha. Bhagavatam 11.5.42. That is to Uddhava. Uddhava Gita. Namo Shivaya. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prasadam Nityashishvamani Prasadam Vanchakarpatam Prasadam. So it's interesting, this verse 7, it talks about Maharaj Parikshit sitting at the bank of the Ganges to meditate on the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And funny, number 5, I noticed, also gives the same thing. He sat on the Ganges bank, and this is today's verse, and verse number 5 says, he sat down firmly on the bank of the Ganges. And then the next thing we see is, it describes here, he gave himself to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, and in verse number 5, to concentrate his mind in Krishna consciousness. certainly there is something that Sutta Goswami wants to emphasize, or himself is amazed to see that this is what Maharaj Pariksit did, that he just gave up everything to sit at the bank of the Ganges and meditate on Krishna. So he said that one verse, and then in between verse that Akruti gave, talked about again the river, how it's such a pure place, and so again in this verse, Sutta Goswami is described the same thing he said in number 7. And Srila Prabhupada makes 2 points. Well, he makes a lot of points, actually. Pretty amazing purport. Srila Prabhupada, every purport has so many points. But 2 points that I felt stuck out for me was to give up material association and meditate on Krishna. And that's what Pariksit is doing here. He gave up all material association and he meditated on Krishna. So Pariksit Maharaj, as we've been hearing so much about Pariksit Maharaj, that how he had 7 days, he had a warning that he has to leave his body, and he set an example. First of all, when he found about what was going to happen to him, so how he took it, that's such a nice example, that how he took the curse, and then what he did to find, after he found out that he was going to leave his body. And we ourselves, we're not very fortunate to know that when we're going to leave our body. Is that right, Kamandi? Do you know when you're going to leave your body? No. None of us know when we're going to leave our body. I mean, I could be speaking here and leave my body. That'd be pretty good, but probably it's not going to happen. But we're not fortunate. But I thought we're actually really fortunate to know that we're actually going to leave this body. Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine if we weren't sure whether we're going to leave our body or not? I mean, some of us are going to leave the body and some of us are not going to leave our body. That'd be pretty, I wouldn't like that. I would say, okay, well, maybe I will leave my body. Maybe I won't, or maybe I'm going to be a pure devotee. Or maybe we will think that, oh, this one is a pure devotee. He hasn't left his body yet. But we don't know. Maybe he will stay forever. Maybe he won't. So actually, we're very, very fortunate. Krishna has made this world in such a way that we're so fortunate, whether we leave after 100 years or another yuga after 1,000 years or 10,000, 100,000 years. The fact that we know that we're going to leave this body is actually a real benediction for us, that we know that for certain. It's 100%, 100% we're going to leave this body. So that's actually pretty fortunate. However, as I said, we don't know when we're going to leave this body. And Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, in one sentence he says, constantly remember the lotus feet of the Lord without deviation. Another place, right here in the purport, he says, Jamuna gives one chance to remember the Lord continuously. So I these words like constantly remember, without deviation, constantly and without deviation, almost seems to me they're synonym. Maybe they're not, those who are know English, but I didn't look in the dictionary. But constantly means always, and deviation without any distraction. So that means constantly. So Prabhupada in one sentence say, constantly remember the lotus feet of the Lord without deviation. So how can we meditate on Krishna like that? Especially, we're not in the situation of Maharaj Pariksit. We find ourselves constantly, without deviation, in some kind of battle. We're always battling something. If we are young, then we're battling how we're going to maintain our family, how we're going to raise our kids. There's some battle. There's always thinking how we're going to do this. We're battling with material energy. Or if we're getting older, then we're battling with doctors and old age and disease. We're battling. It all seems like constantly battling. And here, Pariksit Maharaj, He's not in that situation. He knew it and he just left everything. So how do we as devotees who are battling all the time, or I think another battle that if you're in the management, that you're battling with devotees, you know, otherwise also sometimes. But so how do we meditate on Krishna? I thought about one devotee in the Bhagavatam, who's also, we hear from him how he is meditating when he was battling, and he was actually in a battle, and that is Vritasura. Vritasura is somebody that in some sense we can relate to more than Maharaj Parikshit. He was born in the family of demons, and he was fighting with the demigods. Although we know from his previous life that he was a devotee, and he was cursed like Maharaj Parikshit, he was cursed. And he also, like Maharaj Parikshit, welcomed the curse. He did not retaliate when he was cursed by Mother Parvati. And so he took the curse, and so in this life, as a demon, we hear about how he is meditating on Krishna while he's in the battle. One thing is that Sukadeva Goswami, very nice points that Sukadeva Goswami is writing when he's talking about Vritasura. And we know that Vritasura was fighting with King Indra. And Indra was on, Vishnu was on Indra's side. This is amazing about Bhagavatam. We think so much black and white, but Bhagavatam just, like, it challenges us with situations that we have to think about what it means to be a devotee. What is a devotee? And so here we have Vritasura and Indra. They're fighting with each other. And Lord Krishna is on Indra's side. And Vritasura, the demon, knows that. Sukadeva Goswami says, I'm quoting here, Vritasura and King Indra spoke about devotional service even on the battlefield. And then, as a matter of duty, they began fighting. As a matter of duty, they began fighting. So there seems like Sukadeva Goswami is saying that it's just like they had to do their work. I mean, when we're battling with material energy, whether we're battling and trying to figure out how we're going to maintain our family or battling with other things, that's just a matter of duty. That's just kind of our business, you know. We do our business, but that's what they were doing. And because of that was their duty, they began fighting. And he says, Indra is saying to Vritasura, again, two people are fighting, ready to kill each other, and yet, because they both are devotees, they're able to appreciate each other. Can you imagine you're fighting with a devotee? And you know, on the other side, Krishna is on their side. But you're a devotee. And you know your opponent is going to win, but still you're appreciating them, both of them are appreciating, and the person who's going to win, and Krishna is on their side, he is appreciating the other person. He says, oh great demon, I see by your discrimination and endurance in devotional service, despite your dangerous position, that you're a perfect devotee of the Supreme Personality of God. So Indra praises him again and again. I mean, they fought together, but they also engaged in philosophical discourses. So I thought that is, since, at least for me, I'm thinking, can relate more to Vritasura. And I love Vritasura's prayers, his meditation. I thought, let's hear about his meditation. Srimad Bhagavatam gives us a lot of help. Srimad Bhagavatam is our key to how we can approach Krishna. And we have so many devotees there, and variety of devotees. There's so many pastimes here about people passing away. And it's interesting, Sukadeva Goswami is telling that to Maharaj Parikshit, because Maharaj Parikshit is passing, is dying. So when somebody is dying, we want to hear how did so-and-so accomplish to go to the other side of the world. And so we hear so many of these, and Vritrasura is one of them. So Vritrasura's pastimes, I've never, while meditating on this class, I was thinking that, God, his prayers are so beautiful, they're just so complete. But I never memorized his prayers, and I'm not the kind of person who memorizes prayers or verses so much, but I have heard them, basically because probably Pushkar Prabhu has quoted them over the years, and others may have. But I know like some parts of the shloka, a little bit, one line here, one line there. But I actually memorized these four verses because I found them so endearing to the heart, and getting to know Vritrasura a little bit was also very nice. So I'm going to chant the Sanskrit of these prayers. There are four of them that he chants. Okay, it's, I think it's 6:11:24. I'll wait for you so we can all chant them together. I'll be chanting 24, 25, 26, 27. I'll start off with the English and then we'll chant together. Translation. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants who find shelter only at your lotus feet? O Lord of my life, may I again become their servant so that my mind always think of your transcendental attributes, my words always glorify those attributes, and my body always engage in the loving service of your Lordship. Okay, those who know, they can chant along. Aham hare tava padaita mula dasam daso bhavita sibhuyala manasare tasu pate dunase vinita vakarma karo tukayala. One thing is Srila Prabhupada, he really brings out Vritrasura's mood in his translation. With a limited understanding I have of the Sanskrit language, I don't see where it says, will I again be able to be a servant? He's not, Vritrasura, as it's like your Prabhupada bringing out the mood of Vritrasura, he's not assuming that I will become. It's humility, you see. Will I again be able to be your servant? And then he says, but then he makes a request. May I again become their servant? So then he's requesting Krishna that may I become? Will I again be able to? Or then may I again? And what is the result? What is the reason? So that I can meditate. His realization, Vritrasura's realization is, he can't do this on his own. He can't meditate on Krishna on his own. He can't relish those pastimes on his own. He says, so that I can meditate on you. So that. That's why he wants. Otherwise, he can't do it. And what kind of devotees? What kind of devotees that he wants to be able to have that association, or he wants to serve? To be a servant of the servant. What kind of devotees? Whose association will help me remember your qualities? Such an important point Vritrasura is making here is that he wants to have association. He wants to serve those devotees so that he can remember Krishna's qualities. If we're in the association of devotees that actually takes us away from Krishna, then that's not good. But if it brings us towards Krishna, then that's the kind of association Vritrasura is looking for. Just recently, some devotee texted me early in the morning, literally saying, Krishna is amazing. And that was it. Krishna is amazing, with a dancing emoji. And I'm like, yeah, I know Krishna is amazing, but why is Krishna amazing? I want to hear. The person had the realization that Krishna is amazing. So this is the kind of devotees you want to be with. Like, they're seeing Krishna's qualities in their lives and they want to share. So when you hear something like that, you want to hear. You want to be with such devotees that to be able to see their qualities. So this is what the Sura is saying in his first prayer, number 24. And another thing that stood out here is Vritta Sura calls Krishna Ashupate, Lord of my life. So it's a very intimately he's calling his Lord, oh Lord of my life, oh Ashupate, or we sometimes in Narottam Das Thakur, or yeah, he mentioned in his bhajans, he sometimes says Pranapate, same thing, oh Lord of my life. So it's very intimate expression he is expressing to his Lord. Next verse. Nana
Gatishtam Napchaparishtam Nasarabhomam Nasarupatyam Nayogasirabhavamba
Samandasatravirahayakamche. So here, Vritta Sura is making it very clear to Krishna what he doesn't want. Let me read the translation. Oh my Lord, source of all opportunities, I do not desire to enjoy in Dvalloka, the heavenly planets, or the planets where Lord Brahma resides, nor do I want to be the supreme ruler of all the earthly planets, or the lower planet systems. I do not desire to be master of the powers of mystic yoga, nor do I want liberation if I have to give up the lotus feet. So he's making it very clear what he doesn't want. And you see that over and over and over again in the prayers of the devotees, even in Lord Chaitanya's pastime, in his prayer, clear that what I don't want. So when you're praying to Krishna, you say what you want, but also say what you don't want, because Krishna's pretty tricky, you know. He will kind of like somehow squeeze something that you don't want. So make it clear, I don't want this. This is, don't give this to me. I don't want this. So he is with this sort of thing, I don't want this. But it's not that he's averse to these things. He's not averse to Dhruvaloka or to be the king of the earthly planet. He's not averse to it. Because he's saying, if I have to give up your lotus feet, only then. If otherwise you want to give me, that's fine. But if they're a distraction to my meditation upon you, then please, I don't want this. So this is something that we see with the Sura is, again, remember, this is right in the middle of the battlefield. This is the situation where he's battling and he's praying to Krishna. Next one. Famous prayer. I guess in my mind, I think the first one and the third one, this one here. This is the prayer that I'm assuming that a lot of the acharyas are commenting on this particular prayer. I find that this prayer is kind of, you know, when you say something and you want to refine what you're saying, like your work, your editing. It's like that. This kind of prayer, this is how I see this prayer. O lotus-eyed Lord, as baby birds that have not yet developed their wings, always look for their mother to return and feed them. As small calves tied with ropes await anxiously the time of milking, when they will be allowed to drink the milk of their mothers. Or as a morose wife whose husband is away from home, always longs for him to return and satisfy her in all respects, I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. So here,
Purtasura is expressing his eagerness. Like in Sanskrit language, you know, we have heard susukam, and then susukam. Sukham is really joyful, and susukam, very joyful. Similarly, di drikshate, you want to see, but then di drikshate, really emphasizes, is very eager to see his Lord. And so he expresses his prayers to the Lord, how eager he is. So the first example that Vritasura gives in this is like a little bird who is not able to fly yet, is waiting for the mother to come and feed him. In our guest room, right outside the guest room, there is one tree. And I saw that one time. The bird had made a nest, and a little baby bird was there. And I literally saw the bird coming, and then the little bird opened its beak a little bit, and the mother was feeding through the beak into the beak of the little bird. So he's saying that how the little baby bird is so anxious to waiting for the mother to come, that's how eager I am. But then he feels, no, I should not expect the mother to come to me. That's not the right mood. So then he says, no, I'm like the calf who is like, who's tied up and waiting for when the time for him to go and get the milk from the cow. Because when the milking is done, then the calf is released so that he can go and drink the mother's milk. So he said, at least, no, I'm like that. So he's going to the mother rather than the mother coming to him. But then he again refines his prayer. Yes, I'm eager like that, but no, I do not want service for my Lord. I want to give service. I'm eager, but I want to give service. And so in the last sentence, he expresses, like a wife who is waiting for her husband. The husband has gone away. And so she's waiting, when will my husband come back so that I can perform some service to him? And so he refines his prayers by saying, that eagerness that I have is like that, like the wife who is waiting to perform. So he's feeling good that he can express his desires like that. So we can also refine our prayers like Vritasura is refining in the way of wanting, eagerness to see his Lord. And then the last prayer is Namottama shloka janeshi sakhyam samsara chakre bhramata sokayo vamayayama ajadara grihesha asatta chittasya nanatha bhuya. O my Lord, my Master, I'm wandering throughout this material world as a result of my fruitive activities. Therefore, I simply seek friendship in the association of your pious and enlightened devotees. My attachment to my body, wife, children, and home is continuing by the spell of external energy, but I wish to be attached to them no longer. Let my mind, my consciousness, and everything I have to be attached only to you. So, initially in this verse, he says that I want friendship. He says, I want friendship. If you remember in the first verse, he said, I want to be the servant of your servant. But in this verse, he's saying, I want friendship. Two different things. His realization is, yes, he wants to be a servant, but yes, he also wants friendship. And the both things he realizes that he needs both of them. I was remembering that in the third canto, Srila Prabhupada writes, it's in the verse about Kardamuni and Devahuti, and there are two words he writes, points out Vishambena and Gauravena. This is in regards to Devahuti serving Kardamuni. Describes that how Devahuti served Kardamuni with Vishambhena and Gaurabhena, with respect and intimacy. So So both things. So here, Vritasura is saying, I want to serve the devotees, but I also want friendship with these devotees. So he's very, he's thinking that what he really wants. But then he says that something in this verse is saying, what's stopping him? What's stopping him from all these things that he has mentioned? Wanting to be the servant, wanting to see Krishna, and wanting eagerness to see Krishna, and not wanting this. What is stopping him? In this verse he says, what's stopping him is attachment to his body, wife, children, and home. He says, this is what's coming in between my desires, my eagerness, and desire to see you. This is what's coming in between. It's my attachment to my body. He's not saying what's coming between is my body, my wife, and children. No, he's saying my attachment, asakta jittasya. Asakta jittasya. This is what's coming. Is my attachment to my body, wife, children, and home. And he makes his plea. He makes his plea in this verse. He says, I wish to be attached to them no longer. I don't want to be attached to my wife, to my children, to my home, to my body. I do not want to be attached to them any longer. He's asking his pranapati, his ashipate, his lord of his life. He's asking, he's pleading, please, I don't want to be attached. That's a hard prayer to say that. But he's saying, no, I don't want this. I don't want that attachment. And then he makes his final plea to the Lord of his life. He says, let my mind, my consciousness, and everything I have be attached only to you. He ends his prayer, this is what I want. Please help me. I only want to be attached to you. Just going through the four verses again, since Srila Prabhupada is asking us to meditate continuously without deviation, constantly, and Vritasura is showing that. So let's just go through his verse, through his prayers again. In the first verse, he's saying, let me serve your devotees so that I can remember you, I can glorify you. In the second verse, he's saying, what I don't want. He's making it clear, if it means separation from the lotus feet. In the third verse, he's talking about his eagerness to serve the Lord, not to get anything, but to give service. And in the fourth verse, he first talks about friendship with the devotees, and he expresses what is stopping him to get all this. He expresses that he absorbed in fruitive activities and is attached to the family. That's what he says, that is my problem. My problem is that I'm attached to my family. He says, I just want to be attached to you, my dear Lord. And I'm thinking, wow, that's such a hard thing. Few things are done hard, but just one thought. It's like, I want to be attached to you, my Lord. And you wonder, how can I be attached to you, my Lord? You kind of, you want that help to be attached to our dear Lord. How to do that? The other day we were singing some bhajans by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Kalyana Kalpataru in the Vidyapati section, which is the Gopinath. There are a few songs of Gopinath. And there, in that Gopinath prayer, that really struck me. The verse,
yeah.
he just basically, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that, oh dear Gopinath, you're sitting within my heart, so why don't you yourself make me attached to you? I thought that was such a nice prayer. He said, I just can't be attached to you. So you're sitting in my heart, why don't you make yourself attached to me? You know, why don't you make me attached to you? Why don't you do that for me? I can't do it. I thought that was such a nice prayer. It's so sweet that we hear when our acharyas show us how we can say and we can relate to those things and what they express. And so this is Vrittasura, who is helping us to show how we can meditate on the Supreme Lord while we are struggling in this material world. To associate with those devotees who are attached to Srimad Bhagavatam, those who discuss the Srimad Bhagavatam, to serve those devotees. And we know that when we do such things, Krishna does reciprocate with us. He does. And so from this verse, today's verse, where Srila Prabhupada is asking us to meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord, and when Maharaj Parikshit is sitting down, and once and for all, Prabhupada, I love how he says, decided once and for all. It's like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to just fix my meditation on Lord Krishna. Sit here, sit at a place which is conducive to my Krishna consciousness. So we place ourselves in the association. Parikshit Maharaj placed himself in the association of great sages and heard from Sukadev Goswami, the best of the devotees. We have a chance to do the same thing in the association of all the Vaishnavas, all the Vaishnavas around us. We place ourselves there and we hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And we can associate these personalities that are in the Bhagavatam, are live, they're live. We hear Vrittasura saying those prayers. I mean, the other day, because I've been so much in meditation with Vrittasura's prayers, the other day I was chanting Hare Krishna here at the Kirtan, and I was thinking about his prayers, and actually like feeling what it must be for him to say those prayers right in the battlefield. You get a little inkling of his mood. And so we can associate with these such devotees like Maharaj Parikshit, Vrittasura, and Bhishma Dev. We heard Bhishma Dev prayers recently, not right in the battlefield, but after he had finished the battle and he's ready to leave his body, waiting for Krishna to come. We hear his prayers to Lord Krishna right there to him. So we have so much nice association, and we take advantage and not be afraid, not to be afraid to say prayers like Vrittasura is saying. Let me give up this attachment. This is what's blocking. What's blocking is my attachment to my family and my, you know, my griha and everything. Please help me to give up this attachment and let me be attached to you, oh dear Krishna. By hearing such prayers and by repeating those prayers, these devotees will bless us, and then maybe once and for all we will do what Srila Prabhupada is asking us of us. These are some thoughts. Thank you for your kind attention. If you have any reflections on this subject matter or questions.
Thank you. I thought sin. Especially concentrating on the prayers. Those prayers are so amazing. But I was thinking recently a devotee texted me about a class that someone else was giving if they repeated about how when the king is leaving, he gave up everything, his wife, which is similar to what you just mentioned, that Vrittasura was saying, let me forget all that. And this devotee thought that it wasn't a good idea to say that because it goes out into the ether, you know, like people can watch the class on YouTube and like that. I said, you know, Prabhupada always spoke like that, and, you know, somehow or other, the movement has grown despite that. But I think also, we have to remember that Queen Kunti, correct, she also prayed like that. Like, let me give up my attachment. Because sometimes we only hear, you know, the men give it up, but everybody, we all have to, correct?
Yes. Queen Kunti, yes. Look at, she also prays, what is that verse? She says, please cut this attachment, this dhridam, this strong attachment towards the Pandus and the Vrishnas. I mean, Pandus and Vrishnas, you know, I mean, they're Krishna's devotees.
Right.
But she says, cut that attachment, that material attachment. That one time I asked Akuti, what does attachment mean? She said, possessiveness. I always remembered that.
Who said that?
Akuti. I remember one time Akuti was giving class and said, what does it mean, attachment to the fact? He says, possessiveness. And yes. We think this is mine. So we possess and therefore we attach, you know. And she does in those prayers, because in the next verse she addresses Krishna. After she says this, in the very next verse she addresses Krishna as friend of Arjuna. So why would she say that? Because she's saying that, in other words, in relationship to you, Krishna, I want that, but not in relationship to my bodily attachment. I don't want to have that attachment, bodily connection. But in relationship to you, Krishna, then that is fine, because she addresses him as friend of Arjuna, the Krishna Sakha. So yes,
Also, when you were talking about, I remember reading this diary of a little boy, just little excerpts from it, and one of the things he said was, dear God, you make people's minds, so why do you allow them to have minds that don't believe in you, you know? So I thought that was similar to what you were to what you were mentioning.
Yeah.
Of course, it's all about independence, right? And real love. That's really the answer. But it's funny how people so young, have such philosophical thoughts.
Yeah, that's their deep inner feeling. You know, again, Krishna is again helping them to think that way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's funny, the free will is there, but yet we see, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, you know, like, in other words, I surrender to you. I'm just going to give myself to you, and you just take care of it. You just make me attached, you know. I can't do it on my own. Please do it for me. And that's just so sweet. Any other thoughts or realizations that anybody would like to share? Thank you very much for your kind attention. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
It will.